So I also want to thank everyone for sticking around to the last day and the last session to hear me present. I'm going to be speaking to you today about the association of influenza vaccinations and asthma exacerbations among asthmatic children in the United States. So I first just want to acknowledge my mentor, Dr. Whitney Witt, and my funding source as a doctoral candidate and say that I have no relationships to disclose. So just a little bit of background, and I'm sure you all are very well aware of the epidemiology of asthma in the United States, but experts do recommend seasonal influenza vaccines specifically for asthmatic children, and that primarily is owing to the fact that although asthmatic children are not at a higher risk of contracting influenza, when they do contract the flu, it leads to inflammation in the lungs and the airways, which can trigger asthma attacks, and also asthmatic children have higher rates of contracting pneumonia post-flu than other children, so it's definitely a very serious health concern for children with asthma. So kind of what brought about my interest in this topic, I came across an article that came out of Mayo. It looked at about 260 children and the incidence of influenza-related hospitalizations, and they found that among asthmatic children who had received the flu shot, there was a higher rate of influenza-related hospitalizations post receipt of the shot. And I thought that was very interesting, and it prompted me to dig a little bit deeper and look, and I found actually a mixed bag in the literature in terms of the efficacy of influenza vaccinations among asthmatic children. I also want to point out that there are two types of influenza vaccinations. There's the live attenuated virus, which is administered via the spray, and then there's the inactivated virus, which is administered via the shot. And there's definitely also mixed results regarding which administration of the vaccine you receive. So my research question specifically, I was interested in determining the impact of receiving an influenza vaccination on having an asthma attack or visiting the emergency room for asthma during a 12-month period. So in order to address this question, I used data from the National Health Interview Survey, or NHIS, specifically the sample child file, and I pooled across six cross-sections, so the years 2005 through 2010, and that generated just over 8,000 children unweighted who had a prevalent diagnosis of asthma, and that represents almost 10 million U.S. children annually. So my primary dependent variables that I was looking at was the occurrence of any asthma attack or episode of asthma during the past 12 months, and then among those children who said that they had experienced an asthma attack in the past 12 months, they were asked if they had to visit the emergency room or an urgent care center because of that asthma. And my independent variable, of course, was receipt of the flu shot. And I do want to acknowledge the fact that, and you probably already noticed when I told you about my time frame for the survey, the H1N1 outbreak did occur during that time. And so there were some slight modifications in the way that these questions were asked as part of the NHIS. So the outbreak began in March of 2009, and the vaccine only became available in October of 2009. So during the 2009 administration of the survey, they introduced an introduction to the questions about the seasonal influenza vaccine, and they said, you could have received the H1N1 vaccine. Please don't tell us about that. We're only interested in the seasonal vaccine. And then in the 2010 administration of the survey, they asked two separate questions specifically about, did you receive the H1N1 vaccine versus the seasonal vaccine? And for the purposes of this study, I'm just including any vaccine, whether it's H1N1 or seasonal. So one of the things that I was definitely concerned about is the children that are receiving the flu shot, the asthmatic children that are receiving the flu shot, may have a different risk profile than those who are not receiving the flu shot in a way that could confound the association between influenza vaccine and asthma attack. And so in order to try and address this potential confounding that I was hypothesizing might occur, I attempted to employ propensity score analyses, modeling, obviously, the propensity to receive a flu shot and controlling for that in my analyses by propensity score adjustment when I estimated the effect of flu shot on asthma attacks and emergency room visits. And I also want to point out that I did do a sensitivity analysis where I employed propensity score matching, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in just a few slides. So briefly, I just want to show you some of the propensity score models. So this is flu vaccine receipt. So among asthmatic children, we were just overall in the six cross-sections, about 40% of them did receive the flu vaccine in the past 12 months. We did see an increase in vaccine rates over time, as you might imagine. And in 2010, really at the height of when people were receiving the H1N1 vaccine, we see the overall rate of influenza vaccinations peaking at about 54%. And obviously, as you might expect as well, there's a lot of differences in terms of who does receive the influenza vaccination. So the table just shows the statistically significant differences in terms of sociodemographic characteristics predicting receipt of the flu vaccine. The graphic that you see there is the distribution of the propensity scores. And then the rightmost column in the table shows, after controlling for the propensity score, does the relationship between the covariates and receipt of a flu shot still exist? And we want to see primarily those non-statistically significant results, which means we're doing an adequate job of controlling for confounding with the use of that propensity score. So moving on to my main outcome of interest, these asthma exacerbations. So as we can see, about 40% of the children in the sample did experience an asthma attack in the past 12 months, and they were significantly more likely to have also received the flu shot during that period of time, but there was not a significant difference in receipt of the flu spray. Similarly, children who had received or had any emergency room or urgent care visit for asthma, there was also a higher association with those who had received the flu shot, but the difference in terms of receipt of the flu spray was not statistically significant, and the p-values there represent the overall chi-square. So in the multivariable results, again, this is controlling for the propensity score as well as a whole host of other covariates, which are listed at the bottom. I won't read them to you. But we see that those children who did receive the flu shot show an increased risk of having an asthma attack in the past year, and about 30% of an increased risk. However, we don't see a statistically significant association with having an emergency room visit among those who did have an asthma attack. And I also want to point out, I did attempt to control for asthma severity the best I can. This is a cross-sectional national survey, and so I attempted to use this as a proxy measure of asthma severity, looking at children who had received greater than 10 outpatient or office-based visits. And as you may expect, children with more severe asthma were also at an increased likelihood of experiencing asthma severity. And one other confounding factor that I thought was important to present was the co-occurrence of a respiratory allergy among children with asthma. And as you might expect, children with a respiratory allergy were also at a much increased risk of experiencing an asthma attack. So propensity score adjustment via treating the propensity score as a covariate is definitely one method of trying to control for the confounding there, but it's not the only method. One of the more, I would say, more popular methods comes in the form of propensity score matching, which is where we match people based on their vaccine receipt by the propensity score. The only problem with propensity score matching for this application is that you have to perform a conditional regression in order to account for the matched pairs, and that disallows the application of the survey weights. So when I do the propensity score matching, I'm no longer talking about a nationally representative sample. Although the sample itself is fairly consistent across the two, I did retain almost 70% of the sample when applying the propensity score matching. And in fact, the results don't change really substantially at all. So even with the change in not being able to apply the weights, the results are fairly consistent. I do want to acknowledge a couple limitations of this study. I'm working with cross-sectional data, so there's a very real issue of not being able to establish firmly the temporal sequence between the receipt of the vaccine and asthma exacerbation. I do have a date associated with vaccine receipt, but unfortunately no date associated with the asthma attack, so I can't say definitively the vaccine preceded the asthma attack. So that's one major limitation. Similarly, these are all self-reported diagnoses of asthma, and I am using prevalent diagnoses. And unfortunately, there might be some misreport there that could lead to some misclassification bias. And finally, I do have a proxy measure of asthma severity in the form of high healthcare utilization, and that might not be sufficient in terms of capturing the truly severe cases of asthma. So a couple conclusions. I do think it is very interesting to see that the flu shot was still significantly associated with asthma attacks, even after controlling for the propensity score and all the other covariates in the model. And in fact, it confirms the results of prior studies, and that the flu vaccine, specifically the shot, may lead to an increased risk of asthma attack among asthmatic children. However, it does not appear that the nasal spray is associated with increased risk of asthma attacks. So I think that additional investigations, specifically those that are not limited by cross-sectional data, such as mine, are certainly warranted to investigate the efficacy of flu shot among asthmatic children. Thank you very much.
Are you planning to continue your study and add the intradural vaccine to the mix of the spray and the ion shot?
I mean, if the NHIS were to ask specific questions about that, I would be happy to look at that. But I am a little bit limited in that I would love to tell the NHIS, put this question into the survey, but unfortunately I'm restricted in that regard. But that's a great suggestion. Thank you.
Other questions?
I'm curious, maybe it's maybe I'm wrong, but I thought that children with asthma are contraindicated from nasal spray, right? So they shouldn't be getting nasal spray. Anybody? I'm wondering why there was even 2% of any children that report having asthma are getting the nasal spray flu vaccine. That may suggest that their self-reported asthma isn't really asthma. You know, maybe they go away, get the nasal spray, and they say, yeah, my child has asthma, and the clinician interviews them briefly and says, well, what are your symptoms? And it turns out,
yeah, I actually had the same thought, and I was also looking at flu vaccine receipt among pregnant women, and similarly, the spray is contraindicated among them, but there's still, and it is much, much higher during the H1N1 outbreak of pregnant women reporting that they've received the flu spray, and I wonder how much of it has to do with the fact that in a pandemic situation, people are panicking and just trying to get whatever vaccine they can get their hands on, if that kind of explains, because overall it is, you know, relatively low, but it is still there despite its contraindication. And
one other question? So I have a question. Were you actually able to account for the time you know what I'm saying, when you got the vaccination and when the event occurred?
So
it's just within that year period you don't know?
Yeah, so unfortunately we just are looking at, did you have the vaccine in the past year and did you have an asthma attack in the past year? And although I do have a date associated with when they received the vaccine, I don't have a similar date for the asthma episode.
There might be reverse causation.
Absolutely, very possible, yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thanks.